بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. This is regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And although the poet is speaking about when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived and how the whole world became bright, we will give another explanation to this, because like Quran, it's a living miracle. Similarly, the light of Risala, meaning the light Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, wasn't going to get cut. It was going to be a sun that would rise never to set. So through his sunnah and through that spirituality that emits from his blessed heart, whoever would take Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life, he would find exactly what the poet is now saying. It says, As-subhu bada min tal'atihi. When he rose, then the morning started. When he rose, the morning started. Meaning before this, there was so much of darkness in my heart, forgetting the world. But then he came into my life and everything became bright. But in a bright world, you also need a little darkness to rest in. So he says, وَاللَّيْلُ دَجَامِوا وَفْرَتِهِ. He says his hair had such a beautiful black color that even the dark night became darker. That if I needed time to take ease, it was in his. And if I needed light in my life, it was through him. فَاكَرْ رُسُولَ فَضْلًا وَعُلَى. He went beyond all the Anbiya alayhimu salam. أَهَدَ السُّبُلَى بِدَلَالَتِهِ. And with his indication, he showed us the path. Then he says, when he showed himself, what beautiful there was, what beauty, when he would just show himself. So he says, the day Allah will expose the real light that exists within him, he says, you can imagine what a world of light that would be. Scholars explain this, that people could not look at Yusuf alayhi salam, woman, except that they could not control themselves away from him. But how come Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many looked at him, so they explained that if Allah tabarak ta'ala had to show his beauty, that true beauty that sometimes his wives would see when nobody else was around, then they would see in the house a certain glow would start. Sometimes they would even say, I'm looking at the moon and I'm looking at his face. Aisha radiallahu anha says, sometimes I needed to find something in the dark. And Almighty Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's light, his face would start giving out a light. He says, in that light I would then pick it up. If that light had to be shown to all, then it was the words of Aisha radiallahu anha, then forget women cutting their fingers mistakenly. Said hearts would have broken. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty was, but the poet says so beautifully, har koi fida hai bin deke, that without even having seen him, everyone in the world is ready to give their life for him. Didar ka alam kya hoga. So what do you think will happen the day you do see him? When everyone is ready to die for him without seeing him, what do you think will happen the day that you will see him? Then he says, to explain to you his beauty, let me explain that, see, that his heel, if the shine of his heel had a greater shine than the moon, jab chand se barkar airy hai, then he says, I want you to think about what will be the shine on his cheeks. To rukhsar ka alam kya hoga. Sa'ati shajar nataqal hajar. It was for him that the tree started walking. It was for him that the rock started speaking. شَقَّ الْقَمَرَ بِإِشَارَتِهِ He pointed to the moon and he split it. On the night, when he was called to the sky, جِبْرِيلُ أَتَى لَيْلَةَ أَسْرَى Jibreel alayhi salam came on the night he had to travel. وَالرَّبُّ دَعَى لِحَضْرَتِهِ It was Almighty Allah who invited him to present himself in the court of Almighty Allah. Aksimt Ali, aksimt Umar. On one side of him you would find Ali radiallahu an, on the other Umar. You would find Abu Bakr Siddiq on one side, Usman radiallahu an on the other. These shining stars, each one of them. He says when the stars around him were shining so much, then what do you think about him himself? When the stars around him, the four khulafa, each one had such a beautiful shine, then what do you think about him? فَمُحَمَّدُنَا هُوَ سَيِّدُنَا He is our leader. فَالْعِزُّ لَنَا بِإِجَابَتِهِ Honor is for us in responding to his call. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all respond.
So long, the Mawlana said, you know, I thought you were getting second thoughts. That's why you were sitting in the car driving covered. So I asked him that you almost missed my nikah. He said, Where she's going to go? She has to wait. That's how calm he was. Where she's going to go? First time in my life I saw a boy wasn't there for his nikah.
نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كان يقول النبي الكريم خاتم النبيين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها رواه المسلم Dear respected elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I would like to discuss, to talk on the topic of tazkiyah to nafs, self-purification. It is a vital aspect of our faith. It is a journey of refining our soul, character and actions. As all of us have the external enemy of shaitan whispering to us, trying to lead us to destruction in the hellfire, we have an internal enemy which is equally as dangerous. It is our nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا Successful is the one indeed who purifies his soul, and indeed he fails who corrupts himself. Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read the dua, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha, O Allah, give to my inner self nafs piety, wa zakkiha anta khayra man zakkaha, and purify it for you are the best of purifiers, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha, and you are its guardian and master. To achieve self-purification, tazkiyah to nafs, we must recognize our flaws and weaknesses and to look into each and every one of us, to our sins and try to change that and mistakes, to repent for our mistakes and flaws and to develop good characteristics like humility, compassion and honesty, to cultivate self-awareness and introspection, to seek guidance and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must remember that tazkiyah to nafs, self-purification, is a lifelong process that requires effort, dedication, and sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom and strength to become His better servants. Ameen. Wa akhru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Still waiting for one khutbah on Jummah. It was a very nice short khutbah.
Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. So what we have explained thus far is that Allah Tabarakatala wanted three things when we come to the masjid. This is the preparation for a person to meet his creator. But in every part of our shariat, it was not just the final that was important. It was every stage towards the final. Nothing else is like that. Everything else is whatever is done for the final. There's no real benefit in what is done. The stages are just for that final. And once the final gets done, you forget all the stages. It was only in Islam, the wuzu is a mustaqil stage. It's a unique stage, the wuzu. That itself makes you a jannati. Thereafter comes walking to the masjid, that itself can make you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was asked, what are the angels discussing? He says, Allah Tawarakala then opened for me the discussion of the angels. They were discussing how on every step, a person's level is just going up, 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 up. The walking to the masjid, making wuzu when the water is not so hot. They were discussing that. Nowadays they'll discuss making wuzu when the water is shocking. Anything person does in any difficulty, the angels discussed it. He said, Al-Mala'ul A'la. Mala'ul A'la means that unique group of angels whose job is nothing but to focus on man. Angels are for everything, but one group, Al-Mala'ul A'la, their job is only to focus. And they continue looking at who's amazing and they start like making special dua, dua, dua. You become the focus of a group. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah asked me, do you know what Al-Mala'ul A'la is discussing at the moment? Meaning, where is their unique focus on your ummah? She said, they are discussing the steps to the masjid and waiting for the next salah. After one salah, waiting. Two ways to wait. One way is after a salah, you go away, but you're waiting for the next. That's also good. But the real one is what we saw in other countries. You don't get it much here. Where a person after one salah doesn't go out. He remains in the masjid waiting for the next salah. In other countries where your house is not nearby, they do it. After Zuhr salah, they're not going anywhere. In the haram, you'll see it. Now the man might lie down also, but he is waiting for Asr. He said, waiting for another salah. Intizaru salah, ba'd salah. May Allah Tawarakala make it a time can come in our lives. Our lives are very busy. But we did see people in South Africa doing it on a Friday, from Asr to Maghrib. They would not leave the masjid. I reached one house to visit the uncle. The family said that no, in the masjid. Friday he hasn't come home for the last 30 years. Friday after Asr to Maghrib, he will be in the masjid. He'll complete all his wazifas, he'll read his durood, but he will not leave the masjid. Friday, go meet him there, I will go meet him there at the masjid. So he had at least one time, intizaru salah ba'd salah. Asr finished, let me wait for Maghrib. And that masjid where Asr is quite late, then it becomes easy. Find that masjid and remain till Maghrib. One time, the angels start looking. I said, what and what is happening, how he's raising. So every stage, the steps to the masjid, we spoke about when entering the masjid, two things that we have to worry about. One, that Allah Tawarakala wanted us to change our attitude when entering the masjid. So just before the door, we read a dua. That dua wasn't just a dua written. It was to say, change your attitude, you're now entering the palace of the king. Behave different. So if you joke outside the masjid, you don't joke in the masjid. There must be a slight change in attitude. That slight change makes you beloved to Almighty Allah. If you behave the same, you'll be called like a villager. A valija means how you were outside the masjid, you came in, you never changed. So change of attitude, number one. Number two, which we did last week, you will not mess the masjid. In any way, you will not mess the masjid. And if you see any dirt, even if it's not real dirt, but you will lift it because you will say, I was ordered to keep the house of my master clean. And we mentioned Allah Tabarakallah's way of rewarding is, your action is the reward. So if you cleaned the house of the king cleans your house. And the, your house is your heart. So just by cleaning the masjid, the heart becomes clean. Vacuum the masjid becomes. Dirty the masjid, your heart becomes dirty. Two. Today we are going to speak about the third point. The third point was not now only going to be for the masjid. But it was going to teach us, because the third point is after this, I'm going outside the masjid. The third point in the masjid is, Al-Ihtiraz an Tashwish al-Ubbad. Al-Ihtiraz an Tashwish al-Ubbad. وهو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمسك بنصالها. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a man walking in the masjid with a spear. The Arabs had their arrows, they had their spears. Now the spear, the one point is sharp and the other is your normal stick. If you're going to carry at the stick, then as you're moving, there's a chance you might hit someone on his foot. And a slight cut could be deadly. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw that man moving, but naturally as he moves, you're going to get a musalli who while making dua, reading salah, imagine you walking with your stick like this. So the sharp point is at the bottom because they had no carpets. They had sand. So the man is walking with his stick like a normal stick. That poor musalli, he sees that spear coming and he's reading salah. He thinks, what if this man knocks my toe off? That's all going to happen. That one worry of his was why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is the servant of Allah. Don't even do something that not forget harming him. Giving him a fear of harm, don't do it. He said, you carry your spear at the tip. So you hold the tip upwards and the blunt point down. So the sharp point is up, now no one's going to get hit. It was a very simple sentence. But under this they explain, it was a sentence to teach every person that that man who entered the masjid is the worshipper of Allah. And to interfere with Allah's worshipper is interfering with Allah. Let's do it again. That man who entered the masjid, even if he's a sinner, even if he lifted his hands and saying, Allah, forgive me, once he entered, he's the guest. Once he entered, he's the guest. That's why the highest house of Allah is the Kaaba. By the Kaaba, even if a man ran to the Kaaba, and they need to arrest him, the law was, فَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Once he enters, you don't come arrest him by the Kaaba. At the moment, he's my guest. And there's a whole then issue. How do you get that man out? So you got a thief, he ran by the Kaaba. Now the police are saying, come here, come here. He said, no, no, relax. You can't go and pull him out. Nowadays they go and pull him out. I mean, now they do law things. You can't pull him out. The law was that you actually have to make life hard. Tell the people, don't feed him. Until he comes out of the haram. Then you grab him. Now he's taking you. He says, at the moment he's my guest, just leave my guest. So the man entered the masjid. Once he entered, no matter who he is, because he linked up with Almighty Allah, every person who enters is told, don't spoil those linked with Allah. Don't trouble them. So don't make noise because it will trouble them. There could be a jinn, there could be a man. Don't make noise. He's worshipping Allah. The law was, don't read Quran loudly. You might trouble him. Don't make zikr loudly. You might trouble him. That is why if you sleep in the masjid, don't snore. Some people in a bayan also, they sleep. Sleeping is no problem. Then they snore. When they snore, one time I was thinking of telling someone, take the mic and go put it there. Then an uncle in life will never snore again. Now it goes, that snore goes louder than the mic goes. The way you can see it is you talking, but everyone hearing his snore more than you. But you got a mic, he got no mic. That's a high snore, a very high level. So if someone has to snore also, he shouldn't sleep in the masjid. But what was it going to teach us? One is that, see, once someone comes to the masjid, he's connected to Allah. But it wasn't meant to teach only that. It was going to teach now, when that man leaves the masjid, he still remains the servant of Allah. And you must not interfere with Allah's servant. Because who interferes with the servant of Allah has interfered with Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put a lot of emphasis on this. In the chapter he's speaking to Sahaba radiallahu anhu about actions, ibadat. He said, must I tell you what's the height? What's more greater than all your nafal? And then he would say, your character with people. If a man hurts the servant of Allah, he has interfered with Allah. The masjid is to teach us that. That I will enter the masjid, but I cannot interfere with anyone. So how he teaches us? Go to the haram and you will see. In the haram, people are reading namaz everywhere. But you need to go toilet. You have to make sure you don't cross anyone. You know how hard it is. So the haram got laws like how far, how many. But you will see some of these Arabs when they go in sajda. They're in sajda and they're actually looking up. So if you're walking past, you stamp your toe like, don't you dare go past me. Some of them with their hand, they just stop you like, stop. But all of that is to teach you that, see, even if it's hard for you, make it hard for yourself. But don't spoil somebody else who's connected to Allah. When you will do this in the masjid, worry about that man. If someone's reading namaz, go away this side. Don't cross him. Someone is there reading Quran, don't interfere with him. Someone is in sajda, shh, don't make noise. It's supposed to teach a person that live your life in such a manner that no Muslim is ever inconvenienced with you. And what a wonderful place to teach it, the masjid. That this is Allah's servant. I'm also Allah's servant. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and the best of Allah's creation is the one who is good to Allah's family. He said, the world is the family of Allah. Al-Khalqu Iyalullah. The whole creation is Allah's family. But the best is the one who is good. Now to practice being good out of the masjid is not easy. Because out of a masjid we are all animals. Best place to practice is in the masjid. Because as I told you, as soon as you entered, we changed our attitude. So the masjid now doesn't become a place of ibadah only. It becomes a place of tarbiyah. That when I reach the masjid for the next half an hour, I'm going through a training course. Number one, my attitude must change. How long? Only for 20 minutes. But if I can change my attitude for 20 minutes, five times a day will come where the attitude of the masjid becomes my attitude outside the masjid. Now I become, that attitude is outside. But still when I come to the masjid, I have to change my attitude. So now I got a good attitude outside and I got a better attitude inside. Then I practice the better attitude, then I go out, it becomes my nature outside. Again when I come to the masjid, I have to change. You have to change your attitude. This man will carry on becoming a better man, he become an angel. Why? He practiced every day in the masjid. So the masjid was never meant to be a place of two rakats of salah and go. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tell me a man who comes for five times salah. It's like he's going into water every day. Do you think dirt can stay on him? They said, dirt can't. Problem is, dirt does stay on us. We come in the masjid, we go out of the masjid. Problem is, we just enter the masjid to read two rakats salah. The thing was to enter correctly, to make a good wuzu, to to listen to the adhan, to enter nicely. I only got 20 minutes. What a tarbiyah is taking place. I got no sheikh. I got no khanka. I got no muallim. I got no madrasa. I am just going to the masjid. But when I enter the masjid, 10 minutes, I said, this 10 minutes, the masjid must make me. So before entering, I change my attitude. That will teach me that my attitude out of the masjid is not right. Because why I behave so well? I never scream. 10 minutes, I never scream. 5 times a day became 50 minutes. A day will come, I will not scream outside the masjid. Nabi Sallallahu said, Iyaka wa hayshatil aswaq. In my masjid, don't come and scream like you in the markets. Said, watch how you talk. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu would not scream outside the market. In the market, he wouldn't, outside the masjid. How we behave in the masjid, supposed to, he behaved outside the masjid. One. Number two, no dirt. No dirt. This is the house of Allah. How can I dirty it? If I see dirt, let me pick it up. 15 minutes I practice this. No dirt. Why is there dust there? This is Allah's house. But what a thought came in my mind. That dirt is not nice. Now I go outside the masjid. Now I see dirt. Why is there dirt there? I will pick up somebody else's dirt. It's not there supposed to be. One person said, that our Muslims are the best in everything. Even in dirtying the country, he said, you will never find something like Pakistan. I visited non-Muslim countries, you'll see no dirt. No dirt. So clean. That you wonder, how did they get it right? So sometimes we came to the masjid, we never learned. I was in the car one time, my friend was eating a banana. Then they threw the peel outside. So I told him, like, why don't we just throw it in a packet? He said, job opportunity. Get somebody or get a job to clean up one day. Who's going to clean up? Everyone giving job opportunity. Everyone. For a non-Muslim to tell us, be clean, it broke what was taught in the masjid. That even a clean hair in the masjid, you rather take it out. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, the reward of the man who picked up one dirt from the masjid was shown to me. But it was to teach you that a Muslim is clean, he likes cleanliness. He doesn't dirty. Tarbiyat. At the moment in the world, our ibadat is not giving that tarbiyat. We read salah, but it never changed the man. He came to the masjid so many years, the next salah never made him better than the last. That is why years later they'll say, you still like an animal. You'll tell the man that it's not the salah never changed you, you never read a salah. If in our ibadah we can find tarbiyah, we will find all stress is gone. All problems are gone. I enter the masjid. This is my hospital. I come out. So two, one is attitude changes in the masjid. Number two, dirt. Number three, I do not harm anyone. I do not harm anyone. These are all people in the masjid. I can't walk in front of someone. I'm spoiling his ibadat. That man, when he drives his car, he will drive now in that manner. I can't just cut that man. How come? I learnt it in the masjid. Someone is busy, I don't jump in his way. I'm walking in the market, I won't just cut someone. They'll say, you got very good character. He'll say, I learnt it in the masjid. 10 minutes I only had practice. For 10 minutes, don't interfere with anyone. I got a spear. I must worry, where must I put the step? Why? I must not make anyone scared. How is it you go learning how to shoot a gun? A non-Muslim has to tell you, don't ever face the gun to anyone. We'll say, my Nabi taught us at the beginning. How can you face a gun at someone? He said, even the spear, keep it up. Don't make anyone scared. But that thought then, don't hurt anyone, don't make anyone scared. لا يحل لمسلمين. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not halal for a believer, أن يروع مسلما, to even make another believer scared. We don't have an April Fool joke. Sometimes that man just gets scared and then you tell him, I'm joking. But just that scared can finish him up. So how, what level he went? He said, behave how you in the masjid. But behave in the masjid. Then it has to become part. What these three adab of the masjid? This is even before Allahu Akbar is wait. Allah Tabarakala said, Inna Salah Tanha Anil Fahsha Iwal Munkar. Remember, your salah itself is what you need. It will stop you from all evil. It will put you right. But salah meant this entire institution. To make that wuzu correct, that the dirt falls away, the sins fall away. To walk to the masjid when you enter to change my attitude. To hear the adhan, to reply to the adhan when message is coming from above. What's that message? Then I enter. Allah great. Greater than the east is my Allah. Greater than the west. Greater than the south. Greater than the north. The whole world is telling me it's great. My muazzin is saying, no, Allah is great. But where did the muazzin get the message from? It is Allah who wanted me to hear a message. I heard the message. Then I said, what a wonderful message, O Allah. رَبَّ هَذِهِ الدَّعْوَةِ التَّامَّ. What a message. I respond to the message. Then I come in. Salah hasn't yet started. Salah hasn't yet started. I just sat. But three things I have done. I changed my attitude. I saw that there's no dirt around me. And if there was dirt, I picked it up. And I did not cause inconvenience to anyone. I just sat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as long as a man is sitting in the masjid, just sitting, waiting for the salah, the angels all start engaging in istighfar for him. They all start saying, Allah forgive him. He even said the words they say, Allahumma ghfir, Allahumma arham, Allahumma ghfir, Allahumma arham, Allah forgive him, Allah have mercy on him, Allah forgive him, Allah have mercy on him. He's getting the dua of the angels. He says, as long as his wuzu doesn't break, the angels just carry on, just carry on, just carry on making dua. Wuzu breaks, he goes, he makes the wuzu, he comes back again. Attitude changes. No dirt around me. I mustn't make dirt. And I mustn't cause inconvenience. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worried of this inconvenience so much. He said, if people are sitting, you don't jump over someone. You enter the masjid, you stay where you are. So simple it was, but the three laws of entering the masjid. Change your attitude. Make sure you don't dirty the masjid. And if you find any dirt, we saw scholars who kept tissue with them. So before, while waiting for salah, they look around. Then they see a little white, they pick it up, they put it in their tissue. Then they see some dirt there, they pick it up. Because my Nabi said the rewards of that one who picked up something from the masjid was presented to me. Which means it must be something big. And if there's no dirt around, I don't cause inconvenience to anyone. And then I leave the angels to do their work. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamu. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamu. Sometimes a man will phone you. He'll say, make a dua. Even then you haven't got time to make that one dua. Say, make a dua. So sometimes day and day I just say quietly, Allah forgive you. Because you're going to forget. Who's going to go left at the end for your time? You're going to remember him. Where are you going to remember? Unless the Hajjah time he sends you another message. But then you'll make bad-dua for him. I'm trying to sleep. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahimullah. He said, early in the morning, 1:30, the man phoned. He said, Hazrat, Hazrat, it's a boy. I said, who's a boy? So my wife gave birth. He said, oh, okay. Who's speaking? Hazrat, okay, okay, Jazakumullah. Okay, Allah reward, Allah reward. Then Hazrat Maulana said, you know, it's his baby. He is so excited. He is happy. He thinks the whole world is happy. He said, we don't even know his wife was pregnant. But what a time to phone. What a time. Because when you awake, you think the whole world is awake. When you awake. So no one's going to remember you at that time really. But the angels, as Mala'ul A'la, Allah created them for that. That every servant of mine needs dua. So you are created, pay attention. And wherever you see someone deserving dua, start. Which man deserving dua? Enter the masjid, never miss the masjid, never inconvenience anyone. You just sat. Salah never even start, and that Mala'ul A'la, that unique jamaat of angels, just start one. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, Allahumma ghfir lahu. Allahumma arhamhu. These were the three adab of the masjid. It is a unique three adab. May Allah tawarakala make that we start thinking of this adab when we enter. A lot of tarbiyat will take place in these three adab. That this is the masjid. The masjid is a place of tarbiyah. Everything will happen. Scholars have mentioned that the easiest way to change your life, they normally mention, what happens if a boy is bad? A boy is lazy. You want your child to change. And now you're shouting him, he's not changing. So Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahimullah explained that shouting is not going to get anywhere. It's like you got a lazy horse. You hit him on his behind, he becomes like a donkey, stubborn. You just hit, the horse just relax. One day the horse kicks you from behind also, came over. So it's not going to work, hitting. The horse will kick you, your own child will one day kick you. You hit your child today, tomorrow he hits back. This is called boxing match. When he was small, I boxed him. When I grew big, I boxed my father back. Came over like bang, 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 bang. That is why one father, he told the son, stop now. The son said, what you mean? He said, now if you hit me anymore, you are zalim. The son said, I've been an oppressor from the time I started slapping you. He said, no. When you were small, I whacked you lots. Now I was counting how many shots. I think now we even. Now anything more, now you're overdoing it. Child will hit. Donkey hits. Horse will hit. So he said, why are you fighting with your horse? He said, just take your horse and leave it with other fast horses. And then you go away after. You just go away. When those horses start running, your lazy horse will start running with them also. They just have to run. Now he can't see you. Similarly, our children. You need an environment where everyone is good. Problem nowadays is you don't get the environment where everyone is good. One of the best environments for that is jihad fi sabilillah. There I have seen the man who is smoking a cigarette also throws that cigarette away. He gives up that cigarette in one day, which we can't get a person to give up in 6 years also. One day he just reaches the battlefield. And they say, every fighter, this is your last cigarette. Came over. That environment, even if you were not reading Salah, you entered, the next day you're reading Tahajjud. Your father one day will come and says, where's that rubbish son? They say, he's the leader of the believers. Because when you see death, you understand that we have to meet Allah. Most of the youngsters of today, most of the old people, they forgot this law. That maybe I'll die tomorrow. All of us think, no, I'll die after 10 years. So the day before I die, I'll change. What if I have to die tomorrow? So in jihad, you see death every day in front of you. Out of jihad, like here, we don't see death. Some countries, I tell them, that in South Africa, we actually do see death every day. But we just don't realize it. Because everyone, when he leaves, he doesn't know if he's coming back. Abdullah bin Umar said, in the morning, you have no hope for the night. In South Africa, it's supposed to be like, you woke up in the morning, don't think you're coming back at night. That guy might knock you with the car. That guy might shoot you. Everything can happen. But still, with all death around us, we still walk like I'm going to live. You must walk in the world like you're going to die. That's why certain people, they used to wear their turban. But the turban was not a normal turban. In certain countries, it's still, it's their coffin. It has to be a big turban. Otherwise, a small coffin. They tied their coffin on their head. They came to the court. The person says, you know what we'll do with you? He said, the most is you'll kill me. I got my coffin here. I came ready. I don't even have to go home to prepare. I brought my coffin also. Kill. They carried their coffin on their heads. That man whose coffin is on his head, you think he'll waste time in life? He'll hurt people. He'll steal. You say, death is on my head. Death is, I carry death. Our problem is we forgot. So if a child is put with horses, meaning people who know death is in front, that child will also run. That child will also run. Tarbiyat. Allah tabarak ta'ala make that our tarbiyat takes place. 3 points. Change attitude when entering the masjid. We have to change it. It's sad where you see small boys are small boys. Where you see small boys, they enter the masjid, make everyone talks. But when you see big people enter the masjid, and their attitude also don't change, then you say there is a major problem at the moment, that the masjid just became a place to read two rakats of salah. Attitude must change before entering the masjid. Number two, don't mess the masjid. And if you find any dirt, pick it up. If we learn that, you know how happy our wives will be. Because when we go home, don't mess the house. And if you see any dirt, pick it up. That woman will be so happy, say, go masjid more often. You learn, what a clean house now. You normally, our tarbiyat, we mess the house, and we'll never clean the house. We go inside, everything dirty, and we leave. But the masjid will teach you. You can't do that. And the third thing is, don't cause inconvenience to anyone. Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahimullah, his entire tasawwuf was this. So one time at the ending now, when he was not well, this was the biggest imtihan. He was not well. And they had what is called the jug by the toilets. Every country is different. We have normally water, you open your tap, you fill up. But there where there's no like real always arrangements for water, the law is you don't ever leave the container empty. After you used it, you always fill up the container and then you leave it. So that person will come, at least he'll have water. After he's done, he must fill it up and leave it. He was not well. At night he needed to go for istinja. Dark it was. In that state, he never wanted to wake up anyone, don't want to cause inconvenience. He went, he made his istinja, he came back, he just lied down. And then he remembered he never filled up the container. But normally at night now, you think now, who will go at night? And if that guy goes, he must fill up the container. But then he forced himself again. When you're not well, it's so hard to go the first time. He went again just to take the container, he filled it up. He left it and he went to go sleep. Then the next morning he said, that what a imtihan it was. All my life I thought people don't ever be the cause of inconvenience. How it was if I had to fail last night? The thought of his, that even in that state I must not inconvenience anyone. You park your car, you will look around you, am I not in someone's way? Because what if someone needs to go out? Someone said, no, don't worry, park your car. He said, no, I need to go, I'll go park it there. Why? Because in your mind is, I learned in the masjid, don't inconvenience anyone. Don't inconvenience anyone. Three conditions. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu looked at the Kaaba and he said, Wallah, how honored, how great, how majestic. And then he said, but the qasam of Allah, a believer in the eyes of Allah is more greater, more noble, more honorable than you, O Kaaba. Meaning no one will go and cause bay adabi to the Kaaba. No one should cause harm to a Muslim. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So last week we taught us how to count our zikr. We will make zikrullah now. But let's just see how many people already got it. So counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then 10. So now if we're going to do 11, how 11 is going to happen? Our hand will stay like that. So now today we're doing 11 to 20. This hand will just stay like that. That's 10, isn't it? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Meaning the exact same thing, only keeping your hand here. Yeah? Yes. Akkal it is. Now today I realize I've got akkal. As long as your hand is here, you want 10 already. So 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Meaning the hand must have stayed there. As long as the hand is there, I'm sitting with 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Got it? And then number 20. What's 20, Muhammad? Modern one. This one or this one? This one. This is 20. So this finger, will get stuck in between here. So 10 was here, 20 is here. Put your finger there and you got 20. So next week we'll do 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and then 32. 30. So you got 10, you got 20. Right? Let's make zikrullah now. So now we're going to make 10, 10, 10, 10. So please try your 10 and your 20. And you get stuck in 10 and 20 again.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله 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 استغفر 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 الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد 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 لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين
Adhan will go at 7 minutes past 8 and Salah will be inshallah quarter past.